This is the fourth commandment that we're going to look at. And the reason we're doing the commandments is because there's been a lot of misunderstanding about what grace is in the day and age we live. In fact, many Christians I know believe that grace is the ability to go ahead and sin and know that God loves you in heaven and that he'll forgive you when you go and confess that sin. And there's some truth in that. When we do sin, God does forgive us when we ask forgiveness. But the truth is that grace was never intended to be a license to sin. It was actually grace in its true form gives you the ability not to sin. And so I just felt like we need to go through the Ten Commandments and through the mirror of Ten Commandments be able to see with God's clarity what true grace is based in humility, based in obedience, and based in the benevolent grace that he is and gives to us. And so it says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now I'm a little older than probably most of you in the room. There are some, a handful of you that are older than me. But in my generation, when we were growing up, there were no stores open on Sundays. Some of you remember that. In fact, I have a couple kind of funny stories about this. I know a guy that delivered newspapers 6 days a week in the evenings, and then on Sunday morning, he had to deliver the Sunday paper, which was the big one. And his dad, who was one of those who always held to the Sabbath, let him keep his paper out because he thought it was a good thing for his son to have a paper out and to learn to work and learn to earn money and to save it and to tithe and to all the stuff that, you know, you do. But the interesting thing about it is when he happened to deliver to his own house, and when he delivered the paper to his own house, the dad would hide it from the entire family so nobody could read the comics because you weren't supposed to do anything fun on Sundays. So he and his dad justified this. He said, this is like when you have an oxen in the ditch in the Old Testament, so you got to go lift up that heavy bag and deliver those papers, but you don't get to enjoy this. And what was strange is that it was actually the Monday paper was made on Sunday that he was delivering, and the Sunday paper was made on Saturday. And, you know, some of the reasoning was is we don't want to do anything that was done on the labors of Sunday. A lot of funny stuff back in the day. There was an English pastor that I've met and I'm acquainted with. He came to the States, this is 20 years ago or so, and he went on, when he got to the East Coast in the South around North South Carolina, he stayed there a week and he was speaking at churches. And his host for the entire week was this very religious man who kept talking to him about how awful smoking and drinking was. Because he knew in Britain they Christians smoked and they drank, and he kept, you know, provoking him, trying to get him to get into a debate with him. He said he was never more relieved to leave the South and go somewhere else because of the religion of this man and how intrusive or invasive it was. Well, then he got to go to Michigan in a city where there were a lot of Dutch people, and the guy that picked him up at the airport asked him if he wanted to stop by the bar on the way home and have a drink, and they did, and they were both sitting there drinking whiskey and smoking cigars. But on Sunday, after church, after he spoke at this man's church, they were driving by an ice cream store that happened to be open, and the speaker, the guy from Britain, said, do you mind if we stop and get some ice cream? And the whole car went silent. So they pulled in, just out of deference to this old Englishman, and they go to get him ice cream, and when they all got back in the car, he was the only one with ice cream. And he said, okay, have I done something wrong here? And he goes, well, sir, it's the Sabbath, it's Sunday, we don't do ice cream on Sundays. It's funny. It's pathetic, isn't it? What we do to try and make ourselves feel good about being religious, or what we do to show others we're religious. And you know, nowadays, like when we're done here, we could go to any number of restaurants or to the mall, everything's open, and there's not such a day set aside to honor God. So I'm going to talk to you about this today. What does the scripture really say? Some of us drive by the Adventist church, and you have Adventist friends, and they are absolutely certain you should be worshiping with them on Saturday. Have you ever gotten into any of those debates? Well, that's some of the application we're going to deal with today. At the end of the day, though, I really want us to catch something that was in the heart of God, and it's this whole grace message and this picture of God's love and graciousness to us. John Calvin wrote back in the day that we are not celebrating Sunday as a ceremony with most rigid scrupulousness. Rather, we are using it as a remedy needed to keep order in the church, for the hearing of the word, for the administration of the sacraments, and for public prayer. Very good reasons to have a day set aside, isn't it? In the Westminster Confession, we read, "The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest all day from their own works and thoughts about worldly employments, but also are taken up the whole time in public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy." That sounds really pious, doesn't it? What is he saying there? It's really important that we have a day where we focus on the Lord, but we also rest. And so we're going to kind of try and tackle this topic as simply and as probably quickly as we can, and dealing with the common questions people have about this. This is how we're going to approach this. Question number one is, why did God do this? Why did he set aside a day? Well, he did it for his creation, which is you and I, because he is a God of love, and he's full of grace. He knew if there wasn't a day set aside to stop, lay down the shovels, cease work, we wouldn't do it, because there's always something to do, isn't there? He also knew it was important for us, and this is one of the things George and Jane were talking to me about, it's time to stop and just worship him. It's a privilege to worship our God, isn't it? It's a high honor to worship him. Beyond that, Sundays are often a day where we kind of take account of how we did during the week and go, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. I kind of forgot about you this week, and I got so absorbed in myself and my things and my situations and circumstances and scenarios, I forgot you. How are we doing, Lord? Do you still love me? Are you still there? Are you still listening?" It's pretty important to have a day, isn't it, where we get to the place where we can have a time where we reconnect at a vital level with God. So it was a reminder, it was a requirement for rest, the rest of the body. There was no work. It was basically enforced rest back in the Old Testament times. And so it was for the sake of the Sabbath. Here's where people start to go wrong, is when they think God did that because he wanted his day, and that day's holy, and if you work that day, you've blown it, and God's angry at you, and you're not doing what you should be doing. Jesus comes along, and he said, "But man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man." He just flipped the whole thing around, because Jesus came to do what? He came to fulfill the law, is one of the things he came to do. He also came to destroy the works of the devil, etc. And Jesus fulfilled the law, but he was the fulfillment of the law as he hung on the cross for us, so that we don't have to do all these do's and don'ts, etc., as a way to get into relationship with God. The right relationship with God comes through what Jesus did on the cross. So number one, the purpose of the Sabbath was for man. It was for the whole creation. It was forced rest, or man would probably never have done it on his own. The Jews in Jesus' day, especially the Pharisees, focused on the Sabbath, and the greatest enemies of Jesus were the strict Sabbatarian types. all of the religious folks. The problem, or probable reasons for this, were because one could keep the Sabbath and feel good about yourself, and it didn't require any change of heart. And beyond that, it was a way of making you feel like you were better than others, which is what we see a lot of evidence of when Jesus is addressing the religious leaders of the day. How many of you know, more than anything, God wants you to have a heart relationship with him? If that's not what's been established, and you're just walking through or going through the motions, you've missed what he's asked for and hoped for and desired. He actually deeply desires, because he loves you deeply, to have a heart-to-heart relationship with you. The Pharisees were very selective about God's commands, and Jesus called them on it, and he wasn't very popular for it. It says of the Pharisees, this is Jesus speaking in Matthew 15, "Why do you break the command of God for your sake of tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You're hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Those honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far, far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are rules taught by men." The Ten Commandments require a righteousness that is both outward and inward. It has to do with the heart. The Pharisees were strict about the Sabbath, but they selected this commandment because they felt righteous in keeping it, as if it made up for all of their other deficiencies. How many of us do that? You ever go to church just to make yourself feel better, or because you think you're supposed to? That pretty much defined my entire childhood and much of my early adult life. It was the thing to do. How easy is it for us to be just like the Pharisees? To use church as some sort of measuring stick for how I'm doing with God and how he's doing with me. I think there's a real call of the Holy Spirit this morning to come back. Come back to him and come back to church. There is. That just needs to prophetically get in the air. It's time to come back. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, it's time to come back. Point number two. Jesus consciously chose the Sabbath to perform miracles. Why? There are a few reasons. First of all, think about this. In Matthew 12, he healed the man with the shriveled hand on a Saturday morning, the Sabbath. He, in John 5, healed the invalid at the pool of Bethsaida on the Sabbath. In Luke 13, he healed the crippled woman on the Sabbath. And then he healed the man with dropsy in Luke 14 on the Sabbath. Never forget, Jesus kept the Sabbath, and he fulfilled the law, but he did not bow the knee to the embellished traditions of the religious. So why did Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Here's one reason: to show that he was Lord of the Sabbath. He's God. He gets to make the rules. He doesn't break them either, but he shows you what they're about. It says in Luke 6, Jesus knew what they were thinking, they being the Pharisees, and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." And so he got up and he stood there, and then Jesus healed him right there in front of God and everybody on the Sabbath. He showed that he was Lord of the Sabbath. What was the second reason? To expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it?" So he wanted to expose the hypocrisy of the people, and particularly the leaders. The third reason Jesus did this is he wanted to show the real reason for the Sabbath. Then he said to them, this is Mark 2, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So here's the key thought. Jesus wanted to show that once we become legalistic about Sabbath observance, thinking that man was made to glorify the Sabbath, we have missed the point. God gave it because we all need a day of rest, and he loves us, and he's full of grace and mercy. You can catch the character and the makeup of God in what he did here. For some, there's this feeling that surely we must, at some level, show some, at least some respect for the Sabbath. And I have a little bit of sympathy for that, but I have a lot more to say about it. Because I happen to be a firm believer that we need to have church on Sunday morning, but we don't have to have church on Sunday morning. You'll understand that a little better in a minute. In the book of Acts, which is the earliest Christian history, there is not a single mention of Christians observing the Jewish Sabbath. Not one. Now, I'm going to clarify some of that in a minute. Some of you are going, well, wait a minute. The only references point to Christians meeting together. It said this in Acts 20. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. And then Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 said, on the first day of every week, have your money set aside so we can collect it, so we don't have to go house to house, basically. So obviously they were meeting on the first day of the week. Why were they doing this? They weren't meeting on Saturday anymore. They were meeting on Sunday. Well, point number three, what does the New Testament say? The Sabbath is never mentioned in the New Testament in terms of what Christians are to keep. That's the first thing to get in your mind. The second is that you need to look at, and we're going to do this, what did Jesus say about the Ten Commandments? What did Paul say about the Ten Commandments? And what did James say? Because there's something suspiciously missing in what's being quoted. It says this, according to Jesus, do not murder. Is that in the Ten Commandments? Yes. Do not commit adultery. Is that in the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Do not steal. Is that in the Ten Commandments? Yeah, that's in there. Do not give false testimony. Is that in there? Yeah, that's in there. Honor your father and mother. Yeah, that's in there. Love your neighbors as yourself. Oops. He mentioned all these other ones, but he didn't talk about the Sabbath. What happened when Paul started talking about the Ten Commandments? This is in Romans 13. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, or whatever the commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Did Paul mention that we needed to keep the Sabbath? But he mentioned some others, didn't he? What about James? You guys have that memorized by now. James chapter 2. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking the law. He who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. So, what is never once mentioned or implied is the fourth commandment. Isn't it strange that they never quoted it? There's a reason for this, isn't there? Because Jesus had some very specific things to say about this. Jesus was raised from the dead, first of all, on the first day, which is Sunday. And this day became very precious to the Christians in the early formation of the church. Makes sense, doesn't it? The day of Pentecost happened on what day? A Sunday. And it was significant because it shows how the Holy Spirit came down on a day that he commemorated the giving of the law at Sinai. That was 50 days after Passover. So there's some significance to Sunday to the church and its formation. There's a reason why Sunday kind of became the day. So the first day became important, but here's a question to ask. Whether the first day was to be kept as the seventh day had been kept became a whole different question for the church back in the day, and it's still a problem today, isn't it? There are some who believe that this is absolutely a must, and if you try and do church any other time, you're in sin, and you're failing to honor God and his word. in this case, with this particular commandment, I think that there is an out, and it's very clear. Jesus promised to fulfill the law in Matthew 5:17, and he fulfilled the keeping of the Sabbath as our substitute. He not only died for us, but in doing so, he also fulfilled the law for us. This is grace. This is the grace of God allowing for worship to happen. We have worship happening 24/7. You know that, right? It happens down in Kansas City that way, at IHOP. It happens. It's probably happening all over the world anyway. There's so many people, and there's people worshiping at various times and moments all the time. So it's happening all the time as it is. And God is worthy of that, isn't he? He is. So when we trust him, we're given credit for having fulfilled the law. As soon as we receive Jesus, we're giving credit for having fulfilled the law because he was the substitute for us. He fulfilled the law himself. So he is the sacrificial lamb that makes us clean and pure before God. For it was Jesus who directed the entire event from God's hand when the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost. And Pentecost was commemorated, a commemoration of the law. So you have to ask this question, because we follow Jesus, should we not at least try and keep the Sabbath? No. There's no word in the New Testament about this, although there are words about keeping all the other commandments, which are moral issues. And then Paul and others went on into the synagogues on Sabbath to be a witness for Jesus. They weren't going because they were trying to fulfill the law. They already knew that the law had been fulfilled for them. Further scripture here, Paul warned about a judgmental spirit and the observance of days. He said this in Colossians chapter 12, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And listen to this one. Romans 14 says this, "One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should fully be convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord." If you're a Sabbatarian, you couldn't have written that. There's freedom, isn't there? And that freedom is grace. This verse categorically sets aside the legality of a day that must be observed like the Sabbath was observed in Old Testament times. Sabbatarianism often plays into self-righteousness and self-righteous feelings. We can feel good if we keep the Sabbath in some way. On the other hand, we should be grateful, and here's where I'm going to give you my flavor of this whole thing. We should be grateful for the Christian influence in our society and in our nation that we have had Sunday as a special day. I guarantee you that the majority of believers, if there wasn't church on Sunday morning, would eventually fall away into their own selfishness and foolishness and goofiness. There's a reason for everything God prescribes in the scripture. He's given apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the purpose of what? Equipping the church. Why do we need to equip the church? To fulfill the great commission which Jesus gave, which is to make disciples. I have never met a healthy group, house church, that is not part of a Sunday morning apostle pastor covering. Never. 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 You understand? They're self-appointed people. They promote themselves. And the truth is if we did not have, if God canceled out the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists and said we don't need him anymore, and they're no longer accountable for your souls, which the scripture says, then we could just all meet whenever we felt like it and do whatever we wanted. But that's not how God set up this thing, and he set it up the way he set it up for our good, much like he did the Sabbath for the purpose of rest. The word says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's Hebrews 4. So it's what God's people are to enjoy as part of their inheritance. It's part of God's grace and God's gift to us. The writer of Hebrews gives a description of what it is like to experience God's rest. He says in Hebrews 4, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his." In a word, I believe there should be one day out of seven set aside to rest. That's following not the letter of the law, that's following the principle of what God was trying to do when he gave this. And it's a very important principle. And it's a day where we can cease from work and focus on our relationship with the Lord, with his body. Everybody in here is a body part. Don't try and figure out what you are or what your neighbor is, you know. That could get messy. But everybody's just a part of the bigger puzzle, bigger picture. Sunday became special in history, particularly after the Reformation. Do you know why? There wasn't a real biblical basis for it, except that the early church thought Sunday was special because Jesus rose from the dead. Then the Pentecost was a picture of the fulfillment of the law being done. And beyond that, whenever there was an effort to Christianize a nation, and you know that was happening good for better and for worse back in the day, Sunday was set aside so that people got a habit of going together to worship God. And that fulfilled what God's desire was. The scripture says that we're called to have fellowship with one another. Fellowship is a deep bond. It's not, hey, let's get together and worship and pray for each other and eat a snack. It's a deep bond of love where we serve each other. We serve the Lord by serving each other, and we take care of each other. We watch out for each other's souls. We take care of physical needs and, you know, things like, gee, somebody needs to move this weekend. Let's go help. You know, it's love is expressed a multitude of ways. So we have a very rich tradition, in my opinion, that's based to some degree on Christianity and its history, to have Sunday set aside, and I think it would be a shame to let it slide. I don't condemn people who have church on Saturday night or Sunday night or Thursday night. That's as long as there's fivefold that has been risen up, appropriately trained and promoted by God and the men that God put in charge. They can do whatever they want. I have friends who pastor all over Tri-Cities. They have church services and home groups and things at all hours of the days and night. But Sunday is special, but there's no evidence that it should be kept in a legalistic way. We can keep Sunday special without being legalistic, can't we? You know, where we decide as a church community or Christian community, this is a day we're going to set aside, you know, at least in the morning portion, and we're not going to work, and we're going to worship the Lord together. And today we're going to take communion. We're going to give our tithes and offerings. We're going to meet together. Like tonight, our leaders will meet. We're going to look at what we're doing to enhance God's kingdom and to take ground. And there's a purpose for Sundays. It's to rest from our normal work, to worship, to give, to refresh, to scheme about the things of the God and the things of the kingdom. And those things please him. And they're absolutely necessary. If I was not in church on Sunday regularly, my spiritual walk would suffer. So would yours. And we've seen that happen, haven't we, with people? Or maybe you yourself have experienced it. I did. When Pam and I were first married, I was really struggling with God, and I had the Bible school blues. You know, I was burned out on church. That tells you what my relationship with God was like before I got to Bible school. It was based on something other than a heart thing, wasn't it? You know, and it didn't help studying the Bible all day, every day. I was like, ew, I'm sick of this. And Pam's like, go to church. I'm like, you're kidding, I go every day. We had chapel every day. Didn't help. It's a heart thing, isn't it? It always has been a heart thing, always will be a heart thing.